Hey, what are you doing this summer? Well, if you're like a lot of us, you're going to be going to Hacker Summer Camp. But if you've never been there before, or if you just want to kind of get a refresh of what to expect, stick around because I'm going to give you my book report. Hello and welcome to another episode of CISO Tradecraft, the podcast that provides you with the information, knowledge, and wisdom to be a more effective cybersecurity leader. My name is G. Mark Hardy, and I'm your host, and today I'm going to be talking about, well, kind of one of the biggest things that we typically get in the hacker community, what we've kind of nicknamed as, well, Hacker Summer Camp. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that I've got my DEF CON hat from 1997. I think it was DEF CON 5 when I bought this hat. And we're going to be talking about Hacker Summer Camp. So here's my Hacker Summer Camp official shirt. It's the only yellow hacker shirt I've got. So although I still had to dig through about four boxes of hacker shirts to find it. So at some point in time, I'm going to have to do something with literally hundreds of shirts that I've accumulated over the years at DEF CON and other types of events. But until then, let's talk a little bit about the three conferences that make up Hacker Summer Camp in general, and why it's significant to you and what you could potentially get out of it. So stick around. So DEF CON, Black Hat, and B-Sides Las Vegas, in that order, have cropped up as being some of the core events and activities to participate in the cybersecurity community. Now, a little bit about DEF CON. My buddy Jeff Moss founded that back in 1993. And what happened was he ran a BBS up in the Seattle area. And at the time, the bulletin board system where you dial in, and it was pretty much a text-based interface, was giving way to this newfangled thing called, well, the internet. And so as a result, they said, hey, let's just do one last party, get everybody together. And it was going to be cheap. It's going to be in Vegas in August because it's about as cheap as you can get there. And it kicked off. And it's got about 100 people showed up, more than he originally thought, and they thought it was pretty good. And listening to Jeff talk about it, at the end, he didn't think there's going to be a follow-on, but someone said, hey, what are we doing next year? So, well, I guess DEF CON 2 was born. Well, now we have done 32 DEF CONs, and it just continues to grow. And so, you know, where'd the name come from? DEF CON is defense condition. Those of us who served in the military are familiar with DEF CON 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. DEF CON 1 basically meaning you're at nuclear war. DEF CON 5 is chill out, baby. We have no peer competitors. Well, it was a kind of a cool name, and it's continued as well. Now, what's interesting is one of the things that took place there was Spot the Fed. And it used to be that originally just the hackers would show up. In some of the early days, we talk about the only reason you went to DEF CON was to hang out with your buddies and trade zero days. Well, that became rather interesting. And so law enforcement would show up, and then the Bureau, and then NSA, and things such as that. I think it was at DEF CON 4, which is my first one, when I met a gentleman and we got to talking a little bit, and then figured out that, yeah, he does work at Fort Meade. He was not working at Fort Meade personally at the time, but apparently I knew the secret handshake and things for that type of a community. And we got to talking about what was going on. Well, at DEF CON 5, ironically, for me as a card-carrying member of the U.S. military, I ended up running Spot the Fed. And that was kind of fun in a way, because you'd get these guys who would show up there and they would be with their golf shirt, their buzz cut, and their Bermuda shorts, and they'd be getting dragged up in front of the audience by some guy who looked like he fell face first into a tackle box, all covered in black. He's like, I got me a Fed. If you've ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail and how do you know she's a witch? That was pretty much how the trial went. And people would ask questions like, do you print your own business cards? And do you make less than $40,000 a year? And can you carry a firearm legally to your workplace? And things like that. And so that was sort of an interesting aspect of it. And it was a lot of fun. Well, for years, it was just a cash only. My first DEF CON, I think, was $30. This year, it's a little bit more. It was more if you paid at the door, but if you mailed a check to Jeff in advance, you got a discount. So those days are long, long gone. But if you come to DEF CON, you find out, like, pre-COVID, I think we're almost to 30,000 people. Obviously had a crash. Old rumor, DEF CON is canceled. Well, it really did kind of get canceled, at least the physical gathering. And today it's going to be taking place at the Las Vegas Convention Center. It's had a number of homes over the years, but for those of us who are at the early DEF CONs, we can remember that most of them have been blown up. And so that was the history of DEF CON, is that whatever convention center they would put up with them, the next year it wouldn't work. And I think the first one I went to was at the Monte Carlo. They did not know who DEF CON Communications was, but once they figured out it was hackers, they tried to get out of the contract, but it was already signed. Anyway, DEF CON, being the granddaddy of them all, has really kind of kicked off the cybersecurity hacker conferences. Now, there are older hacker conferences, some by that very name, but for those of us who know about it, it's the thing at the place, and we don't talk any further. If you know, you know. Well, fast forward a couple of years. I remember 1997, DT, Dark Tangent, that was his handle for Jeff, said, hey, if everybody will pay $40 to do this, the suits, i.e. the business people, will pay about $1,000. So said, hey, let's go ahead and get similar talks, and we will hold them over at Caesar's Palace, because it's high-end, looks fancy. And I figured if I get about 100 attendees, we'd be doing well. I think I got about 300. And I was there helping him run that first event, and I just thought it was interesting. And some of the initial speakers there, it's interesting, is that I knew and still stay in touch with almost all of them. Peter Zatko, a.k.a. Mudge, who, of course, went on to do a number of things with DARPA. And I remember having lunch with Mudge because he eventually went over to Silicon Valley. And as we know, that didn't end very happily over there. So sorry about that. But I remember him telling me, he said, gee, Mark, I'm done with the federal government. I just want to go back to Boston. And I said, I got this incredible offer out here in California. And I said, there's no amount of money that would make me want to move to California. I said, you know what? That was wrong. So did really well after that. Held to his guns. Smart guy. Man of integrity. Deep respect for him. Dominik Brzezinski, known him. Chris Goggins. He said, I watched the 2003 Super Bowl over at Goggins' house with Win Schwartau. And so that's how far back we go. Ray Kaplan and I, we worked together at Secure Computing Corporation back in the 1990s, as long with Jeff Moss. Jeff was also part of that group. The guy who had managed to herd a whole bunch of cats had got some of the really big names in cybersecurity, including Sluggo, who was also there speaking at Black Hat One. And we were able to form a pretty unique group that then got bought out by a startup called Guardant. And then for the most part, we went different ways. Other folks that were there, Pete Shipley, whom I still stay in touch with. I just did a talk with Pete up at ThoughtCon in Chicago, where we called it Gray is the New Black. Why you should listen to the old guy in the room. For those who are watching, you can see that, well, the gray beard is gone. I took that off. That was my prop that I took 7 months to grow. Adam Shostak, had him on the show. Sluggo, if you know who Mark is, then you know who Mark is. Richard Thieme, whom I've had on this show, and a dear, dear friend, someone whom I respect. Ira Winkler, who did CruiseCon. I've had Ira on here a couple times. Priest, Hobbit, and just these folks go on. So it was interesting that this very seminal event in terms of taking cybersecurity out of the hacker space and then making it into mainstream corporate space, after a little while, Black Hat really got some momentum. Jeff sold it out for an undisclosed amount to a professional event management company, who has then turned Black Hat into, if you will, the other RSA, where you got to be there and things such as that. So it's got a corporate audience. It's a place to exhibit all your wares. If you got the showroom floor, it's a great place to be. And the talks typically are very technical and things such as that. And so if you're going to speak at Black Hat versus DEF CON, I've spoken at DEF CON a number of times, but Black Hat, we always kind of joke that you have to go ahead and find some sort of vulnerability where you have to decap a chip under the gravity of Mars using a left-handed device on a Thursday, and then your talk will get approved. And Jeff, as I said, ran those for a little while, but he subsequently went on to just doing the DEF CON. But he worked at the White House, and he's worked at IANA, and he's had a lot of really interesting life experiences. So good for him. I spoke, I think, at DEF CON, one of the times was in 2008. And I gave a talk there, and I was going to speak again at Black Hat the next year. And I didn't get accepted, and a lot of people didn't get accepted. And so a couple guys, Jack Daniel, Chris Nickerson, Mike Don, a few other folks said, hey, guys, you know, we've got good stuff, but somehow we didn't make the cut. So came up with a grassroots alternative for speakers whom we all knew were really good, but for whatever reason, just didn't get accepted to this one thing. And so thus B-Sides was born. Now, for those who don't remember the old days of 45 records, the A-side of the 45, yeah, record was a round thing that you put on a turntable, rotated at 45 revolutions per minute, a little needle which would have a crystal in there, piezoelectric charge would run to create the music. Yeah, go ahead and look it up on some historian channel if you didn't live those days. But anyway, B-sides, that was the other side of the record, the one that nobody cared about. You got the hit on A, you had to put something on B, but every now and then you get a double side where you buy the record and both of them would be really good. I think Travis Goodspeed, I think he made the first badge. I remember when I did my ham radio license, I think I did it at SkydogCon with Travis. I brought down the coffee machine from my room, and we sat there and we drank coffee because I thought the thing was going to be on a Sunday. Then it was actually going to be on a Saturday, and we've already been up till 3 a.m. And so I think our call signs were about 2 letters apart. But B-Sides was interesting because it was set up from not just an event or an event in Vegas, but they created a wiki to allow anybody else to run their own B-sides. And so there's been over 1,000 B-sides around the world, and it's really sort of a do-it-yourself. You can create your own. And as a result, it started, if you will, the grassroots type of conference. And I go and speak at B-sides when I can. I'm a professional speaker. I get paid to do my stuff. People said, Nick, how do you get paid to speak? I said, do it for free for 20 years. And then you build up the skill, the expertise, and the reputation. Nonetheless, especially if a B-side is just getting off the ground and you want a headliner or somebody like that, give me a call. I fly out there and see what I can do to get you on the map. Now, for those who have been there to one, two, or all three of these events, you're familiar with the differences. But if you're not, if you're relatively new or you just want to review them, let me go through and tell you what to expect for each one of them. DEF CON, which is going to be in terms of chronological stuff, was the oldest one. But when you get to Vegas, baby, you can start with Black Hat, then B-sides, and then DEF CON is at that closing weekend. It's hacker focus. It's informal. It's interactive. You get in a big long line. We just call it LineCon. You pay your cash and it'll have hacking contests, experimentation, a lot of hands-on stuff. One of the things that I thought was interesting was the voting village that we've had over the past few years, and also the car hacking village, and a lot of these things that are hands-on. The voting village is quite interesting because people would bring in voting machines. Now, I got to tell you, the vendors of these voting machines did not voluntarily participate, but these are people who, as citizens of their community, have properly volunteered to serve on whatever it is, their local voter registration board. And when you're not using these voting machines the other 364 days out of the year, why not take on a road trip to Vegas? And so what we find then is that a lot of the weaknesses that were discovered in them that were then publicized were not a result of vendor disclosures, but it was a result of the hackers at DEF CON going ahead and saying, hey, we're going to find a way to make this thing do what the designers didn't intend it to do. And so from that spirit of innovation, DEF CON had been fun. Years ago, we used to have something there that was called a wall of sheep. A buddy of mine named Riverside ran that, and everybody would get on the Wi-Fi. Well, this is pre-Ed Snowden, and so most everything was unencrypted. People log into their Facebook page, or if they even had Facebook back then, Twitter, your email account, and it was all in the clear. And so what he did is he basically had the scrolling window of all the IP address, the username, full username, and then the first few characters of the password with asterisks, just to let you know that they got you, but then I gave the whole thing away. And the first year he ran it, this thing just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled. And then subsequently, that has changed. I think he's turned that into a security awareness type of a tool that he can take on the road. But we pioneered an awful lot of stuff at DEF CON. My contribution to DEF CON was, well, Hacker Jeopardy. I first played a game of Hacker Jeopardy in 1997 at DEF CON 5 with Ira Winkler, mentioned Ira, and Dead Addict was on our team, and we won it, except for the fact that the scorekeeper was drunk and Wynn got the final Hacker Jeopardy question wrong. For those of you who are trivia buffs, what is the only version of Microsoft operating system that had an Orange Book rating? And let me know what you come up with. Send that to me, a little show notes, and I'll tell you if you got it right, or I'll tell you where the error was. In any case, based upon that, I ended up working with Hacker Jeopardy for about 25 years. Somewhere in the background here, yeah, there's my Hacker Jeopardy podium. That was our 25-year anniversary, GMARC, MC, and it's actually Nixie tubes from the Soviet Union. That's a functional clock. Fired it up yesterday, but I found out that on the camera that I have, it just turns into a big orange glow, so you can't play with it. Any case, DEF CON has always been a great place to go, good place to catch up with friends, and what I call it, my dysfunctional family reunion. Black Hat is the professional side of it. It's more corporate. It's structured that way. The presentations are much more technical, but the showroom floor is a big deal. And I'll go there from CISO Tradecraft, and I will try to speak with a lot of different vendors, understand where they're going. Some of them want to come on the show. That would be absolutely great. We don't have sponsored guests every week, but when we do, it sort of helps us to pay the bills. And as you know, we've never shilled for anybody, but we do try to ensure that our audience here at CISO Tradecraft is exposed to some of the important information, knowledge, and insights that you need to help your career. And sometimes we find that. Now, it's premium cost. It's a little bit along the line with RSA, except you don't have to pay San Francisco hotel prices. I was just pricing out my RSA trip for March because I'm putting in the call for papers, by the way, is out for RSA, and I'm going to put it in for that again. And I'm thinking like, man, I do not want to pay $800 a night to stay at a hotel nearby. Anyway, you can do a little bit better here in Vegas. And then besides Las Vegas, and so besides Las Vegas, it's really done quite well. And so as a result, if you go and take a look at it, if you're signed up, you're signed up for it, B-Sides LV. And what you'll do is that from that type of event, you'll have much less formal type of a presentations. It's more of a community event. You kind of hang out with stuff and things like that. That's going to be August 4th, 5th, and 6th over at the Tuscany. And it's been at the Tuscany for a number of years. And it's great for networking. If you're new in the career, if you're new in cybersecurity, go to B-Sides Las Vegas. Come out a couple days early, and you're going to make some contacts and some connections there. And if you do all of them, then you get the T-shirt. As I said, I found my 2017 Hacker Summer Camp, which included DEF CON 25, Black Hat, EFF, TierraCon, Red Dirt Hackers, QCon, Hacker Summer Camp, and a whole bunch of other things like that. So it's the only yellow hacker shirt I've got. So that's why I was able to find it. Albeit, as I said, I had to look through a lot of boxes. So first time coming out here, what do you want to do? Register in advance if you can. Black Hat, pay in advance. Besides Las Vegas, I think you need to have your tickets now already or else you might not get in. But for DEF CON, mostly just pay at the door. Get an agenda and plan it in advance. It's really easy to get lost and wander around. And so what you want to do is get that agenda early and map out what you want to go and where you want to attend. There are a lot of parties. There are a lot of networking events. I get invited to a bunch of them and I have to make decisions. Some of these are people that I like and I'm double and triple booked. And it's like, guys, I can't be everywhere. I'm going to try to show the flag and work your way around. If you're not so fortunate to have that problem, then potentially look around. Don't crash somebody's party. But if you go to the vendor floor and you spend some time with them, you'll find that some of them will have after-hours events type of activities. And that's another opportunity to go ahead and be casual in terms of when you're meeting people. Also, stay hydrated. If you're not used to Vegas, it gets very hot. 40, 45 degrees Celsius, 105, 110 degrees Fahrenheit, depending upon what your favorite flavor is. Stay hydrated, bring some snacks, make sure you stay charged and with your electronics, because there's a lot of walking around that takes place over at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, and you're probably easily get in 10,000 steps. I think I got 20 some odd thousand the last time in per day. Now, for DEF CON, find something you want to do. Either capture the flag if you're really good. That's an intense type of a competition. We got some really amazing stuff there. Perhaps participate in some of the villages. Find something that you're interested in and chip in. That's casual, and so you don't have to dress up fancy and things such as that. But get interactive and hang around with people. The crowds are big, crunched in there a lot, but there's a lot to do. Black Hat, as they say, go to the vendor halls, look at the solutions, look at the demos. There's a lot of tchotchkes. People walk out there with bags full of stuff and things like that. And they say B-Sides is kind of hanging out. Now, there's some things that someone would recommend that you do. For example, on your cell phones is that, yeah, don't just bring your corporate device and things such as that. Bring a burner phone. Yeah, here's my burner phone. It's right here, and it's getting charged. And so what do I mean by that? It means that you're not going to have your Bluetooth turned on. You're not going to have your Wi-Fi turned on, your near-field communications turned on. You basically turn off all those antennas. Just stay on the cellular network because there's a lot of people who will, have a little bit of fun with you. Less so at Black Hat than B-Sides, less so than DEF CON, where it's basically Wild Wild West. Be careful of social engineering attacks. Do not use that ATM that's on wheels. Okay. It just wheeled into the, and you can see the streaks on the floor. There's all kinds of fun stuff that takes place and things like that. Although the Black Badge Contest has been around for a number of years, and that is actually a very interesting type of an event. I think they're also giving out cards this year. So they have the Black Badge Contest collector's card. You'll find a GMAR card in there. If you have one and you get one, look me up and I'll sign it for you. Apparently that's worth something to folks. So things you should be doing: network, engage deeply. At DEF CON, you get the grassroots insights, you get some hands-on skills. You can immerse yourself and just work on something for hours and hours and hours. I went ahead and I figured out how to go ahead and wire Cat 6 cables. Now, what do I need to do that as a CISO? Well, if I got people who are wiring, you know, crimping on the ends of the cables and things like that and testing it, I've always liked to lead by example. I'm not going to go ahead and do all the cables, but you gain credibility with your team, even your technical team, even the vendors when they're doing stuff. If you know what they're doing, you've done it once before. At Black Hat, it's the vendors. It's all about the vendors, in my opinion, for the networking, but also you can learn some amazing stuff up there from some of these well-vetted presentations. There's an awful lot of people who submit to Black Hat. And then B-Sides, also great talks, not as crazy technical at Black Hat, but some really good networking opportunities. Figure out among the list of all those things, all those presentations, all those talks, which ones are going to help you in your career. In the early days, it was all about cybersecurity and you had to learn it all. Today, you can't know it all. It's just too big. But then also at the end, be willing to run up perhaps with a business card. Like, can I get a copy of your slides? What? You don't have business cards? Well, go ahead. If you're on LinkedIn, I actually print up my business cards and the QR code on there is my LinkedIn page. So now I can just hand somebody. They don't have to wait around to scan my phone, things like that. It's a little piece of dead tree, but it's still so quaint. And it works. And people are able to follow through with me and stay up to speed on that. Catch up with me out there at any of the conferences. Happy to give you a card. Or if you're a sticker person, I printed up 1,000 CISO Tradecraft stickers. I'll be bringing those as well. But I say follow up with some of the speakers if you have something interesting, and especially if you have something to add. And then if you've never done so before, put in to present. Respond to the call for papers. Now, I've never spoken before. No one knows who I am. Things like that. We get that. But you got to start somewhere. As I've shared before on the show, when I first got in the consulting world back in 1985, went to work for Booz Allen, there's a lady there, Lorena, who gave me some advice my first week. I said, G-Mark, speak every chance you get. Okay. So, 85, there's no internet, there's no Zoom calls. You write things and you mail them in terms of your abstracts and stuff. And like, who are you or nobody know? Who are you or nobody know? Finally got accepted. And for those who've been following the show, you know that my first talk I got a chance to do in 1986. Admiral Grace Hopper was the keynote speaker. I was one of the warm-up speakers, but it's still pretty cool being on the same platform as her. So you got to start somewhere. Don't worry about imposter syndrome, because a lot of us say, well, I'm not good enough or whatever. Well, you know what? You get up there on stage, you got something interesting to talk about. You're going to put a lot of time and effort into making it a good presentation, and you might be surprised how motivating you are for other people to say, I want to learn stuff and things such as that. How about hacking contests? Could these be a sign of future direction, future vulnerabilities, future attack vectors that might take place? So as we saw a few years ago when the voting hacker village came online and then some issues with voting machines, the self-driving vehicles and things such as that, and now AI, I think you're probably going to see that. So the stuff that takes place there is going to be leading edge for what you might start to see. And also at Black Hat, you might find some new security frameworks, some new threats. People release tools and things like that. Tools are also released at DEF CON, and you can walk out with that. So come to Hacker Summer Camp if you haven't done so before. This would be my 30th year in a row at least. And so is he like, wow, that many years? I go, yeah. And so you do get some gray hair. At least I still have my hair. Some of it's going away, but not all of it. And what you do, however, is you build some lifelong relationships. You gain some insights in the community. If you're willing to go ahead and step up and speak and present and give back to the community, you can earn a place among others who have chosen to return to our group of security professionals and, you know, people trying to become professionals, something of value. Part of the reason I'm doing the podcast is I don't know if it's my end stage of my career, but it's my effort to try to go ahead and create a body of knowledge that's going to help people in their careers. Be proactive. Look for learning opportunities. Go through, and when you develop friends, someone says, hey, we're going to go see this talk or go see this presentation. But roll up your sleeves and go to one of the villages and just do something. And if you're bored after 20 minutes, stop it. But you might say, like, wow, this is fascinating. I could do that. And then afterwards, follow up. You're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to gain a lot of contacts. However you want to do it, whether it's on Mastodon or on LinkedIn or X or just the old-fashioned business cards. But build your network. You're going to find out that over your career, that the people you meet and get to know and whom you can add value to, don't make it one way. You don't want it just a diode where you're just taking. You want to be able to contribute back. Is going to be able to allow you to do better in your career. And you helping somebody else today might allow them to help you in the future. And so make it something meaningful. When you're done, come back, think about it a little bit, plan out the rest of your year. Some companies will go ahead and pay for one conference here. I think that was the brilliance of Jeff with Black Hat. He said, hey, I got a self-priming pump. People come to DEF CON because back then it was $40. But now they get a job in the corporate world. The company is going to pay for them to go to a professional conference. They'll come to Black Hat so they can stay for the weekend on their own nickel and hang out with their buddies. So DEF CON primed the pump for Black Hat, at which both of them grew quite nicely. So I look forward to seeing you. Come looking up. I'm going to go ahead and I'll be walking around. I'll have my CISO Tradecraft gear on. And for those of us who know how to get a hold of us or drop me a line on LinkedIn or connect with me if you got something you want to say or something interesting or if you're doing a big reveal and you want us to talk about that, I'm also going to be walking around with my recording equipment. And I've got my CISO Tradecraft official microphone here, so we'll be able to go ahead and do some interviews. So look forward to it. Hope you have a great time in Hacker Summer Camp. Until next time, this is your host, G. Mark Hardy. Thank you for listening and or watching, and stay safe out there.